Hey, are you ready to move your life? I mean, really move it? It's time to turn up the dial on your energy, your health, your sport performance, your happiness, and your relationships. If you want to live with more freedom, more adventure, more passion, more fun, and more success, if you're ready to get your brain in the game and achieve the most out of every area of your life, then it's time to move to live and live to move with your host, Jill Summers.
Hello, you made it, you're here, you're in the right place if you are ready to dial up your life. This is Jill with Jill M. Summers Performance Coaching, and this podcast is designed to guide, coach, support, and challenge you to live your life out loud, way out loud. This is part 6 of the Rudy's Road to Kona series, where we are following Ruth Payne's journey on her way to competing in Ironman World Championships in Kona on October 14th, which is only a couple of weeks away.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I'm getting goosebumps just saying the date and I'm not even doing it. So one of our promises to all of you listeners is to tell you that we're bringing you the real story. We're not just bringing the fluff and the everything is great part of the journey, but also the highs and the lows and the gratitudes and the challenges and the insights as we go along, and also giving you some sneak peek tips on some of Rudy's physical and mental training techniques. So once again, welcome back, Rudy.
Great.
So great to have you here.
It's great to be here.
So, and by the way, listeners, I have to tell you, I've been listening to the podcast because that's smart. And I say so a lot.
I would never have known. I've listened to them all also. More than once.
And I have a friend who recently told me I say so a lot. So.
All right, bring it on.
Yeah, right? And I'm going to try not to say it so often, or maybe I'll just do it more. Well, we'll see.
All right.
But I want to welcome you back, and I'm really excited, and I know our listeners are too, because we've been getting some feedback from all of you about, you know, what happened at Chattanooga.
Mm.
Rudy just recently did a World Championship 70.3 in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and I hear that there's some pretty incredible hills.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Ride and run. Mm-hmm. I want to hear, and I know the listeners want to hear about your experience. Mm-hmm. What were your, here are a couple kind of guidelines. What were your intentions going into it? Mm. And did they hold true during your race?
Okay.
And or what changed?
Okay. Okay. So can I back it up a little bit?
Absolutely.
All right. So I just want to say that... I want to say that I got to meet Mark Allen and Dave Scott.
Oh, my God. we were just talking about them in our previous podcast about their book, Iron War.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And so I was at two days before the race, they had a fun run. And my father-in-law was doing it. So I went to cheer him on. And lo and behold, the guys who were blowing the horn to start the race were Mark Allen and Dave Scott. And I'm so glad I didn't sign up for the 5K, because after everyone went by the start line, I ran around and got to go over and say hello and introduce myself. And it was really, really, really special.
That's really exciting.
Yeah. And it was... never experienced a world championship before, and it was really, really powerful. People came from all over the world. 90 countries represented. We made some connections with some people that really touched us. One person, her name is Nicole, who was from St. Martin, so to be able to just kind of, after we met her and understood where she was from, just kind of be with her in the challenge of dealing with Hurricane Irma that had just hit the day before. So that was, it was a privilege to be in her presence. And then there were just, I mean, languages, all different languages. And so every time I met someone from another country, I said, welcome. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just cool. It was just really neat that we were the host country. Mm-hmm. And to me, to drive to Chattanooga from Wisconsin, it wasn't a big deal to think about flying from Estonia, which I don't even know where it is. He said Europe. I said, okay, that sounds good to me.
It's very small, little tiny country near Switzerland.
Yeah, and that they, you know, came and sacrificed so much. Mm-hmm. So there's that piece. And then that reminds me of something that my father-in-law said. So Jim and Joanne, my mother and my father and mother-in-law, came with me. So it was the three of us on this trip, and which was really super special to share together. They got so into it, and we could talk more about that at some point, but that was a real, real gift to me. And so at one point, Jim said, wow. Like, he had this, it dawned on him that everybody there had made a commitment that he had seen that I had made in terms of training and preparation. Mm. And when he said that, it was like this huge sense of energy and power with all of these people gathered that had put so much of what's important to them to be there. That was just really, really enlightening for me.
Yeah.
And so all of that's part of the entire experience.
It's a really cool observation on his. By the way, Jim and Joanne, I love you.
Me too.
And I know you're going to be listening to this, so I'm glad that you get to hear it. And I'm hoping one day I get to meet you in person.
Well, you did.
Oh.
You met them at the Downer Classic.
Yes, I did.
Yes. Yes, so maybe again.
So maybe again when there's more familiarity involved there. But I love that they got the opportunity to experience that cohesiveness that we feel at races.
Mm-hmm.
When we get people of like mind and body together, there's something that expands beyond words or happens we can't necessarily put it into a description. It's a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It's a feeling. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I always say, you know, we do the do to get the feel. So we do what we do in order to get the feel. And I do think that on an unconscious level for most of us, that's why we do Ironman, is because of the way that we feel, not only from the racing part of it, but the cohesiveness of the community.
Which brings me back to, we had this discussion recently about the Ironman tattoo, because I haven't gotten a tattoo yet, but I've spent some time reflecting on the MDOT symbol beyond that it represents a company that runs these races, but the MDOT also, which that company is a real gift because it provides this experience for thousands of people and these opportunities to set goals, to put dreams out there, and then to work towards them.
Yeah.
That is unbelievable. Yet also, that MDOT represents community.
Right.
It represents strength, perseverance, commitment, many, many things. But when I started writing all those things down, and I wrote community too, and family, I mean, so many things, I was like, okay, I want the tattoo.
Yeah. So do you have an idea of what it might be, or when
not
you might
yet.
Get it, or
no?
Any of that?
After the race.
Okay.
Probably not while I'm in Hawaii, because I before I have someone, you know, start to draw on me that will cause some pain. I want to make sure I'm healthy.
Okay.
And doing an Ironman definitely decreases your immune system and stuff. And so I want to build it back up before I subject it to a tattoo.
I told myself that I could get mine after I had done three.
Mm.
And it just was my thing. It doesn't have to be anybody else's. But I said, after I do three, then I'll get one that represents all three of them.
Awesome.
And I did my third one in my third race in Switzerland. So you were talking about the different languages all around. I was struck that day by, or that entire week of all these languages around me, and I had no idea what people were saying, but I did. Again, I didn't need to know, you know, the words. I just, it was the feel. But I will tell you, I do wish I had known some of the language, because there were some mess ups that was simply because of language.
For example,
could we get back into transition?
Right.
And get warm clothes when it was 50 degrees and raining.
Yeah. Yeah.
But my point, going back to the tattoo, is I ended up getting it in Switzerland. And I didn't know what it was going to be. I knew it had to be an image that combined the previous races. And it came to me literally the night before I left. I wanted to get it at the end of the experience, because I knew I'd be in the water and such, and so I didn't want it to interfere or get infected or anything. But it was amazing. My friend said, "You've got tomorrow, and then you got to go. So you better start get that creative juices rolling." And sure enough, I woke up the next morning, and boom, that was it.
You need to put a picture of your tattoo on your site, because everyone's going to ask.
Now they're going to be like, what does it look like?
Yeah.
The interesting thing, too, is the tattoo place was literally one block from where I was staying.
Oh.
It just sort of fell. Right. And it's amazing how we can manifest things like that.
Yeah. All right. So we talked about this weeks ago, and I never told this story but in the podcast, but I think it's appropriate at this time.
Oh, good. Let's hear it.
Okay. So this is one of those funny stories that Linda and I hoped that we would share together. But so in 2013, we were on our way to Ironman Florida, and I wasn't in the know too much about the happenings. Like, I don't even think I knew who won the race, who won Kona that year. I do now. It was Miranda Carfrae. But I may not. So at that time, I couldn't tell you much about Ironman except that I'd done a few. And but we were on this flight with a friend who knew everything about Ironman. So he started hooking me up who to follow on Twitter and Instagram and everything else. So we're on the plane, and we're waiting as people are getting on the plane, and we see someone get on the plane, and our friend Bruce says, "Oh, I think that's Andrew Messick." I'm like, "Oh, who's that?" He's like, "That's the CEO of Ironman." I was like, "Oh my gosh, I need to talk to him." Well, back up, okay, the week of most of my Ironman races, during taper, I'm like, "Oh, what am I going to do with myself? I don't know what my next goal is." And so I'm always like, and I hadn't signed up for a race. Was I going to sign up for Florida the next year? Because everything fills up. What do you do? And so Linda and I were in bed one night. This is the week before the race. And I was like, "Well, let's just search the Ironman website and see what race is." And we were living in New York, and I was like, "Wouldn't it be so cool to do Lake Placid?" Well, it's November, and Lake Placid filled up the week, well, the day I think it opened up, the previous July. And so I was like, "Well, I just want to click on it." Well, I click on Lake Placid, and it says register now. Normally it says like all full or limited or something. So I was like, "Huh." So I clicked on it, and it took me to the next page. And then it said, you know, I had me fill out stuff, and I was like, "Honey, should I fill it out?" "Yeah, why not? Let's just see." So I filled it out, clicked next, it went to the next page. And I kept going, and then it asked me for the credit card. And I was like, Where's the credit card? So she had to get out of bed and ran downstairs and grabbed the credit card and came back upstairs. And I ended up signing up for Lake Placid in November when it was full. And I was like, "Okay,
how did that just happen?
And did I get it or not?"
Right.
Because I need to know. Because
so this happened before you got on the plane with him. This is like 2 weeks before that.
Yeah, a week before. A few days before. Okay.
I'm following.
So here we go. I'm like, "Oh, that's the CEO. I got to talk to him. I got to find out if I'm really going to Lake Placid or not next year." And he needs to know something's wrong with his system, because I got in. And I also, actually, the same night I decide, let me just check Wisconsin, because it fills up too. And let me see. And it let me, I didn't sign up for it, but it let me hit next. I was like, "Uh-oh." And so I was like, "Hi, Mr. Messick, my name's Ruth Payne." And I just turned around because he was two seats behind me, you know. I just want to let you know I signed up for Lake Placid last night. And he's like, no, you didn't. And I was like, I did. He's like, how? I said, it was a miracle.
Thank you for my miracle. As you bow to his feet.
And he's like, yeah, no. And no, it wasn't a miracle. I need to find out what happened. I was like, okay, could you just let me know if I'm in
like,
or not?
Miracle glitch. Tomato, tomato.
Right. So anyway, by the time we get off the plane, he's like, lucky Ruth, you're in. But it was a glitch. Wow. Like 15 people got in between those two races, but we fixed it and that's it. But you're in. I was like, wow, thanks so much.
You saved the day, really.
Okay. So that weekend, every time I ran into Andrew Messick or to the head referee, he was like, oh, you're Lucky Ruth, aren't you? So I took that name on. And after I did Lake Placid, that was a year that we had storms. They had to cancel part of the swim. They had to make lots of decisions and take into account people's, you know, dreams and how, I mean, it's a lot when you change things. I mean, we have to deal with changes, but some people get really upset. And so you just have to deal with lots of stuff. So after Lake Placid, which was an awesome experience for me, I decided I would guess at his email address, and I would send him an email. And so I sent an email to, Andrew, and I said, hi, this is Lucky Ruth. Just want to say thanks. They did a great job at Lake Placid, blah, blah. Well, he wrote me back, and that was really cool. And it was clear he looked up my results and said, hey, you had a great race. And that was really cool. So almost every year after I do an Ironman, I send him an email. Nice. I send him my race report. It's clear he reads it.
I love that you're able to be that aware of your gratitude and, you know, giving back to this organization that has provided so much for you and, of course, the rest of us. That's cool.
So it was really, really neat. And his response has been really cool. In April, when I was down for the half Ironman in Haines City, my sister and Sarah and I, we went and had a tour of the Ironman headquarters, which was really, really special. So anyway, here I am at Chattanooga, and I've already met Mark Allen and Dave Scott, and I'm in line at registration, and I see this guy standing behind, just kind of like looking around. I'm like, Andy? I don't even know if it goes by Andy.
Oh, no.
But I'm just, you know? And he's like, and I'm like, Lucky Ruth. He's like, I know. So it was awesome to connect with him again. And when I qualified for Kona, that was really, really special to send him an email.
Yeah.
And he said, because in the subject line, I always put Lucky Ruth, and he said, luck had nothing to do with it.
Oh.
It was really special.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
And I love how you manifested something in there that... yeah, it's kind of beyond human.
So I know we talked about you have questions about the intentions for Chattanooga, but I feel like maybe since you just brought up the whole manifesting things, that maybe we could talk about the scholarship I applied for.
I think we should.
Yeah.
So you were sharing with me prior to starting this interview today another manifestation story about when you lived in New York.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. So before we moved to New York, I didn't know what I was going to do. Like, I wasn't going to a job. We were moving because Linda took a new job. And so it was like, what am I going to do? And so when people asked me, and I'd just done my first Ironman, was signed up for my second and loving it to death. And also making friends and people who wanted me to ride with them and stuff. And I was excited to start helping people. I was kind of letting go of being so serious and able to help people. So I would say, well, I'm going to go swim, bike, and run. And maybe I'll get to help other people do it too. Who knows? So we get to New York, and I'm checking Craigslist for ads. And I see this ad that says, come swim, bike, and run with my clients in the Hamptons. Now, I don't know what the Hamptons are, but I hear they're pretty cool. And so right away, I send my resume, and I get a phone call like 3 minutes later. And I'm on the phone with this woman with a South African accent. And it turns out that she's the owner of a private training gym on the Upper East Side, and that she also has a location in Southampton, and she's looking for someone to help coach people. This was like, holy cow, like, she's asking me my Ironman times. Oh. Like, what was my swim, what was my bike, and I'm telling her, and I'm sensing some affirmation from her, and I'm thinking, who would have thought that doing an Ironman would get me a job?
Right.
Would open up a door. I mean, I'm doing it because I love it. Of course, if you do what you love, it'll open up doors. But right. I was just completely floored. Ended up with an amazing experience when we lived in New York, being able to swim, bike, and run with people.
And getting paid a good yes. penny for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was wonderful. It was really, really awesome. So, fast forward.
Right.
We want to talk about manifesting. Linda and I had together said that we were going to support this dream I have of seeing if I had any chance at qualifying for Kona. So making a commitment to the training and what all that means. So in that process, Linda also discovers her deep desire to get her PhD. And that is a real important part of who she is. And so now we have to figure out how we're going to do that and support this dream of mine. And how is all this going to work? Wait, she makes the money. Like, what are we going to do here? And so, and we're moving across the country again. So we do that. I get a job as a personal trainer, and I do coaching on the side and things like that. And so anyway, here we are. And I had taken on a number of clients at the gym, and it was just busy. I was just busy, and I was having a hard time. I was feeling overwhelmed. I just felt like I had more than what I could do. And so do I let go of working towards qualifying? Mm-hmm. Do we need me to do all the work I'm doing? And if you look at the cost-benefit analysis, I was not making that much money. So to let go of X number of clients really wasn't going to impact us that much, but it was really going to allow me to keep doing what I loved. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I had a hard time. It's always hard going to your partner and saying, I feel like something has to shift. I don't know what to do. How can we do this? And Linda, the great supporter that she is, sat with me, and we just talked and talked. And I said, I just want an answer, an ad like the one in New York City, you know? Yeah. The one that says, come swim, bike, and run with my clients. And she said, all right, why don't we write an ad? Why don't we write one? So it's like,
On purpose, really, I can just take this into my own hands.
Yeah.
And consciously manifest something.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Cool. So you wrote an ad.
Yeah.
For yourself to be able to do Ironman qualifying type of training.
Yeah. Yeah. What the idea was, let's put something together that gets me totally excited. Lights me up, as you say.
Right.
Right?
Right.
To move forward. And at what, if we could do anything, and we love doing this process, just putting it out there, mm-hmm. like, what are your dreams?
Put your attention
just
to it.
Put it out there. It doesn't mean that's what we're going to do today. It's like this lake house. Eventually, maybe we'll have a lake house. Maybe we won't. But we can dream about it.
Right.
And we could say, what are the kinds of things that we would want? And we just keep putting that out there, mm-hmm. and stuff. So let's just pretend. Let's pretend that the best ad is out there. What would it say?
Okay, cool. Yeah. So you wrote such an ad.
We did.
Are you willing to read it for us?
I would love to.
Let's hear it.
All right.
I want to hear it.
So this is what we wrote.
Okay.
Wanted. 45 to 49-year-old female age group athlete committed to qualifying for the Ironman World Championships in Kailua Kona 2017. Must be available 30 hours per week for training and self-care. Baseline fitness requirements. Time trial swim pace, 1:30 per 100 yards. Bike FTP, 220 watts. Run pace, half marathon at 8:15. You may have outside work not to exceed 10 hours per week. Qualified applicants must also exude joy for working out and unwavering optimism, yet possess a thirst for new knowledge and growth. Full scholarship provided to one selected athlete that meets all qualifications and blows our socks off. Scholarship includes lots of love, full tuition, room, board, healthcare, athletic equipment, registration fees, travel costs, kitty purrs, and doggy licks.
Very nice.
That was our dream.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And we did it.
And you did it.
I went to work the next day, basically, and said, I really need to cut back my hours.
And you did that in May of 2016.
Yeah.
And you qualified in September of 2016. Mm-hmm. And fast forward a year to today.
Mm-hmm.
And you leave for Kona in a week.
A little less than two. Yep. Yeah.
Congratulations on that manifestation. Mm-hmm. What I love about this is what I said just a little bit earlier is you took it, you put your attention to it on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so often I think that we go, oh yeah, I kind of want that, because we're too afraid to really state what we really, really want, because what if I don't get it?
Mm.
Well, chances are going to go up if you can really be clear and state what it is that you want. Because then all of our decisions begin to build us up to be able to go and get that and keep us on track and keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
I talk with my clients a lot about this. I get these visuals. I'm kind of visual. I imagine like a bunch of horses in front of a carriage and they're all not really strapped in. So you have one going to the left and you have one going to the right and you have one kind of going right, left, and one kind of going straight and one kind of going left, right, you know, and they're all going in different directions. But if you can rein them all in and pull that carriage straight forward, the chances of you getting from A to B quicker and with greater satisfaction are pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you did.
Mm. Mm.
That's such a great, great story. I love that. So
it was awesome. Very freeing. Extremely freeing. Yeah.
Everybody, at the end of these interviews, I tend to distribute a challenge and say, now you go out and do ABC. I'm going to distribute that challenge right now.
Yeah.
Because I don't want it to get lost.
Yeah.
I want to challenge you to write your own ad.
Yeah.
What do you want in life?
Yeah.
Do you want to draw the love of your life to you? Do you want a new job that's fulfilling? Do you want to make more money? Do you want more time? You don't need more money, you just need more time. You know, what is it that you really, really want in your life? And clearly state it. Write an ad. Okay, there's our challenge.
Awesome.
Thank you for sharing that
story. Yeah, you bet.
So let's backtrack just a little bit, because I want to hear more about Chattanooga.
Yes.
You had a really exciting opportunity to meet Dave Scott and Mark Allen, and you also got to meet the CEO once again and reconnect. You got to recognize where all these athletes coming in from 90 different countries. You went into the race with an intention. What was that intention?
So the intention was to race with joy and gratitude, and to be kind to my body, to listen to my body. This would be my first race since the progressive healing of my hamstring. And so the desire not to overdo it so that it wouldn't hinder Kona. And so so that was my intention, yeah.
And?
It was really one of the, it was such a joyful race experience. It was, so I loved that for the first time I took in the beauty. Like, so often, especially the first time since focusing on qualifying. That I was like, people always say, look around you, see how amazing, like Lake Placid's a beautiful course. Well, I never saw it.
Mm-hmm.
I mm-hmm. raced. mm-hmm. I enjoyed those downhills, man. It was awesome. And there's a little bit I saw, but really I was in it. This race, I took it in, and it was incredible. And it was such a joy to encourage other athletes along the way, too. It was an all women's race, so the women raced on Saturday and the men raced on Sunday. And so the energy was really, really different, too. So positive and encouraging. It was amazing. Someone was on the side of the road and someone else was like, do you need anything? Like they were gonna and they were like, no, that's okay. I'm just have to stretch out my legs or something. And I was like, such generosity.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really neat. So, to experience less pressure was wonderful. It was great. I got on. Well, I really enjoyed the downhills. I mean, I can't tell you how much fun that is. The uphills are tough, and there was a part of the race where I was like, oh, I didn't realize this was still going to keep going uphill. but it was what it was. But the downhills were great. But here I am, I'm starting the run, and I said to myself, you only have 2 hours left of this championship race. Enjoy every step. And that really was like, okay, that's exactly what I want to take to Kona. Holy camole.
Mm-hmm.
Whether if it's 17 hours, that's 17 hours to be in a world championship. You know, why not stretch it out?
Right.
I mean, so to let go, there is a desire to, so I'm jumping ahead a little bit. Chattanooga, I really wanted to care for my body, and I did, and my body hurt, but not bad, and I really enjoyed it, and now going to Kona, I'm going to push a little harder, it's going to hurt a little more, but I still desire, like, every swim stroke.
Mm.
Like, you're in Hawaii. You're in, like, the Ironman World Championship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every second, how so that's what I took, I think, in Chattanooga.
Take that awareness with you, mm-hmm. into this big race, which would be really easy to lose.
Mm. Well, okay, when you say that, what I think of is it would be easy to lose because it's easy to get down on the fact that it's gonna be super hot and it's super windy and the pavement is gonna be really tough to run on and you're by yourself a lot.
Mm.
People can't go out on the bike course. There are places on the run people can't go. In
spectators.
Yes. So you are going to be alone.
How are you, you're such an intentional woman, intentional athlete. How are you intentionally going to work with that?
So I'm super excited about it because I've been thinking about all of that. So there are a couple of things. I desire to appreciate each swim stroke, each pedal stroke, each run step. And I'll get distracted and I'll come back and I'll get distracted and I'll come back. So, but that is my desire, is to do that. And so now, that I'm voicing it, I'm practicing it. But it is very simple and sometimes it's complicated. So an example of that, simple versus complicated, is I had a 40-minute easy run yesterday. And easy is in quotations because it was low heart rate, just go do something easy, get your legs moving. Well, I did it in the afternoon, late afternoon, which isn't a time I normally run. And I knew before I started the run that my body wasn't feeling, you know, I had some, you know, stomach bowel stuff, right? And I was like, oh, this is a familiar feeling. It wasn't resolved before I started running, but I was like, it was very easy. I was like, you don't have to run. You got to go pick up Toby, my dog, and take care. You got to do this and that. No, you're going to get home at this time. Then you're going to blah, 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 blah. Just run. Make yourself do it. So as soon as I started to run, I was like, oh my gosh, my legs feel so heavy. It was like I had to will them forward, right? This is an easy run, and I had to will them forward. And it was very funny. I got on the trail, and I'm like, every run for the past 2 weeks, I have loved, right? Easy smile, easy joy, easy to picture racing, easy to picture all the support, everything. It was not easy. It was so hard yesterday. And I was like willing myself to smile, willing myself, right? And just keep moving forward, right? Keep moving forward. That was a sign that was at my first race. So I've always thought of that. Keep moving forward. Well, so there is, and the whole time, and I had to use the bathroom. And so it was a very familiar feeling. Mm. I was like, oh yeah, this was Ironman Wisconsin last year. This is exactly how I felt. Oh, this is good. It's good to have this practice because you haven't felt this way in a while. Mm-hmm. So, and you're not moving very fast. You can see my stats. I'm not moving very fast and it sucks. Sucks because I'm not moving fast and it hurts.
Right.
And
it's one thing if you're moving fast.
Right.
And
right.
It hurts.
Right.
It's like, okay, well, at least I'm getting the outcome I want.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's supposed to be easy. Mm-hmm. So in my reflection on that, I was like, wait, okay, it's cool. Yes. Like to use what we have to help us to keep moving forward. That's good. But I also started to see that in that willing myself, I missed the opportunity to be present to the discomfort. And it was as if I was avoiding it in a way. So my desire and my intention for Kona is to be present to what I'm experiencing. When I feel present, I'm able to be more authentic. Mm-hmm. So I'm forcing this smile yesterday. That's not authentic. it's not real. Finding that way to be authentic in my experience, whether I am happier or in a lot of pain, mm-hmm. uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. That is the simple yet confusing, complicated, I think, piece
right.
for me. So I have decided also that I'm making a commitment to myself to give everything I can at the race. It will be different than Chattanooga,
okay.
where I was conservative. So
more effort. I'm paraphrasing, reflecting, present, to stay present, to enjoy, take it all in. Okay. You also mentioned to me just before we started recording today about some of the people that you're quote unquote taking with you.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. So, I had an experience when I lived in Charlotte, North Carolina, where I helped, raise money for a, the building of, a new, center for the homeless. So I, was asked to take part in this, and I believed in it. I was a volunteer there, and so I wanted to be a part of it. I loved what they did, and so I also committed X amount of money, and so I would, you know, donate every month to this organization. And once the building was completed, it was amazing. I mean, it was just awesome. And I remember walking in and being like, I own part of this building. And I felt like, wow, like really invested in this. And that was super cool. So now we fast forward to Kona and to the podcast, to the wonderful response from people who are listening, from old friends, from people I've never met before. And I'm being bolstered by this support, and I believe that you said it during the first podcast, like how important it was you didn't use these words, but it was like to throw your energy behind Rudy on this, and that's what I felt. And so I have many cousins, and last year, as a surprise to me for Wisconsin, Linda made t-shirts for everyone who was coming to cheer. And they were awesome. It was so freaking cool. It was so special. I was like, oh my God, this is awesome. Well, my sister saw them and was like, I want one, right? And so, of course, so we had some extras, so we sent Leah one, and she posted it on Facebook. And so one of my cousins was like, how do I get one? And I'm like, man, you know, we don't have them and stuff. And so I was like, all right, well, we'll make more. And all year, we'll make more. And I'm like, oh my God, how are we gonna do this? So anyway, I was like, all right, let's do it. And so, we decided, to put it out there, and I put the design on Facebook. Of course, I contacted my cousin Brian and made sure he still wanted him, and told him it was his fault that I was going to open it up to everyone else. And so we put them on, and we're making 130 t-shirts. It's just really special. And the response is, it's like, basically what we said was, whether you're coming to Kona or want to be there in spirit, or you know, if you want one of these t-shirts, let us know and we'll figure out how to get you one. And so I was just overwhelmed by the response. And there are people that you wouldn't maybe be surprised by, and then people you're surprised by, like, wow, this is just amazing. So I just started like realizing I have like so much support, and that all of this, like my sister then took my post and posted it to her thing and said, if anyone wants to support my sister, you know, she got 15 friends. Yes, I want a t-shirt, you know? And I was like, this is just overwhelming. And so, so to me, each one of these people, whether you got a shirt or not, and is getting me, I feel like, to the finish line. Mm. And you know what? Something happens, I don't make it to the finish line. It doesn't matter. Like, is getting me to today.
Right.
To my frickin' hard workout tomorrow that I can't wait for.
Right.
I mean,
it's already working. Yes. Their support is already working.
Yeah, and it's been working for 10 years.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I'm getting this parallel. You know, if we were to circle back to the beginning of our talk about this community of iron people and bringing people together and the power of that, you're talking about basically the same concept. It's just a different circle now. It's all these people that are coming together to support you. And and I guess what's coming to my mind and my heart is the power of connection.
Yeah.
The power of support. The power of people and hearts and souls coming together. I'm getting a little philosophical here. You mentioned a special person that is in your heart and mind right now, Nick. Tell us about Nick.
Yeah, so Nick is the son of a former coworker of mine when I worked at the Evanston Athletic Club in Illinois, Lisa. And Lisa and one of her best friends, another coworker, Zen, came and to cheer my first Ironman. And they made that sign. I don't remember which person made it, if they both made it. They made some hilarious signs that day, but one of them said, "Keep moving forward." Mm. We put all the signs up in the office after the race too. It's really fun. Lisa is the mother to Nick and Emily, who are twins. Well, and in their early 20s, I think. So 2 years ago, Nick contracted West Nile virus and went from being your average early 20-something to having to be cared for full-time. So Lisa has become his full-time caretaker and believer and dreamer. Lisa is the one who, before I moved to New York, helped me articulate what it was that I wanted to do. Like, write your perfect day. Hmm. So I would do that with her, and I've manifested that. So Lisa has had a really great influence on me. And so Nick, you know, she totally believes in Nick's healing abilities and is his really greatest advocate. And I love using the word advocate because to me that is also another word for the Holy Spirit. Mm. To have those advocates in our lives, and she is an amazing advocate. She is the Holy Spirit for him, and she makes the Holy Spirit alive, I think, for all of us. So she asks her community. She is not afraid to ask for help, and she's awesome because of that. She just puts it out there, and she's very real. One of the things that she has asked of us is to imagine, to envision Nick's healing, okay? So in the past she said, envision him riding his bike with you, you know, envision running with him, okay? The latest one is, so Nick's, I don't know the correct words, but his wrists bend forward and he can't straighten them out, okay? And so she wants us to envision him being able to straighten. She wants him to play the guitar again, because he's a guitarist. And he can't move his fingers like that. You know, it seems impossible. But as Iron Man says, anything is possible. Mm-hmm. We believe that. And so what I have done recently is when I'm on, it's really, really cool on the tri-bike, when you're in aero, you don't have to hold on. I mean, you're resting on the aero. And so your hands, I, you know, every once in a while when I come back to the present, I'm like, oh, right, relax. Nick, hands. Mm. And I'll open my hands up and I'll be right focused back where I need to be. And so Nick and Lisa help me focus. Yeah. So, they both inspire me. I mean, she really, in her belief of him, and her belief that anything is possible, really inspires me. And she's always supported me in my dreams. And so, you know, when you qualify for any world championship race through Ironman, whether it's the 70.3 or the full, and you get a coin. They give you a memento. And, you know, we are so funny about things, you know. But Linda's like, you're not giving away your medal from this year. Because, you know, I'm like, oh, who wants this medal? I'm going to give this medal because it's important. I wanted that person to have it or this. And she's like, you can't give away the coin. You can't, you know. And I'm like, no way, man. Are you kidding? We worked so hard for this. We're keeping this thing, you know? What if I don't even make it to Hawaii? We got the coin. And but one day last October, I was like, you know, it says anything is possible on the coin. Mm. And I thought, I want to give it to Lisa and Nick. And so... So I asked Linda, she's like, of course.
She didn't take her much to change her mind. Linda, I love you too.
Me too, honey. And so I got to visit them. And I think it was mid-October last year, and I brought the coin. Mm. Got to put it in Nick's bent wrist, and it rested in his between his thumb and his forefinger. Mm. And so...
Special story, Nick. We're sending you amazing healing energy and Lisa, strong advocate support for you as well. Mm. Yeah. Lovely to have that in your life. Mm.
Yeah, what a gift. I mean, gift. Dreamers and spirit. Mm.
Yeah. So as we're starting to wrap things up, what... This might be your last interview before Kona.
Yep.
And I told Rudy this at the start of our interview today, that I'm not going to push her to talk with us before her race. But I kind of am. Just in saying that. it's a gentle nudge. You may or may not hear from her prior to the race, but what that means is this could be our last conversation until... afterward. What is one of the big things you're looking forward to?
Okay, so I got an invitation today. There's a breakfast that hosts that Valerie Silk is the keynote speaker. Well, who's Valerie Silk? Well, let me look her up. Well, she was the race director from 1980 to 1989, and her story is amazing. And so she is a part of the deep history of this race, which is, so I'm like, oh, maybe we'll go to that breakfast. There, I get to do the swim. A week before, they have an organized swim that you sign up for. So I'm doing the Ironman swim the Saturday the week before. That means I swim and then I get to hop on my bike and have a great training day. Mm. Like, really get to experience it. So that'll take out some nerves too, which is awesome. So all of that. But what am I really looking forward to? And I mean, it's a given that what I'm looking forward to is this moment right now.
Interviewing the podcast?
Yes. Yep. Yes. Every moment. I'm hoping, well, there's a very large group of us, and it really is like a wedding, in the sense that from different parts of my life, and it is so exciting to me.
Coming together.
Yes.
Lovely.
Yes. I mean, college roommate, right? My siblings and their families, and I have a second cousin who's going to be there because her boyfriend qualified at Madison last year too, and so all of this, just so much. So we're going to have a party. I haven't talked to my brothers about the specifics yet, but they're hosting it.
Okay. Brothers, did you hear that?
And I can't wait.
You're hosting a party.
Yep, and it's the day after.
Okay.
While everyone is still there.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, congratulations on getting this far.
Thank you.
Right? Not only for qualifying, but making it through your qualifying training and getting to the start line. What's a song that we're going to go out with?
Well, so honestly, what comes to mind first of all is, and it's because what we just talked about with Lisa and Nick, it made me think of, and it's awesome. Linda's dad loves Chris Rice, and I remember listening to Chris Rice years ago when I lived in North Carolina. And he's like, oh, there are two songs, there's a song I want you, I think you'll really like this song. And so I was like, oh my God, I love this song. Like, this is one of my favorite songs. And so I wouldn't say that it's gonna jazz anyone up for working out, but it really encapsulates, it's freaking awesome. It's called Life Means So Much. And even the first, I mean, I didn't even get it when Jim told me this. It was after I listened to it a couple more times. I still haven't told him this. But the whole first verse is my life. Hmm. And he probably was thinking that when he said, you should listen to the song, but I didn't even register in this. Every day is a journal page.
Yeah.
You have the choice to write your story.
Nice.
You know, what are you going to write?
Your story.
A blessing or a curse or what? That's up to you.
Yeah.
You know, life means so much. Yeah.
That's great. I think that's a perfect song, actually, to go out with. We were talking about writing your ad.
Yeah.
Writing your scholarship. Write your verse. Mm-hmm. Write your story. Mm-hmm. Write your journal page.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I cannot tell you what an honor it's been to be a part of your journey.
This has been a great process.
And
thank you.
It's not over yet.
Nope, it's definitely not.
Which I'm so happy about.
Yeah.
And we wish you so much love and luck and... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Heart and lungs and muscle and mental fortitude and focus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're all with you. Earlier, you talked a little bit about having that sense that people are behind you and you know, kind of pushing you forward. Mm-hmm. And I got this image of we're actually at the finish line, like one great big huge frickin' magnet, like the size of a two-story building pulling you, pulling you toward us with open arms.
That's freaking awesome. And I have to tell you that I've also, my mom has been so present. It's just...
She passed in 2013.
Yes, 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
2015, yep.
15.
Her presence, and so it's just been a real... When you said lungs, it just... She died of lung cancer. And so whenever I... breathe, especially in the pool and on the run. I feel her.
What's her name?
Helen.
Helen, thank you for bringing us this amazing daughter, this amazing woman who's been so great for all of us. Thank you. So as we're wrapping up and we're closing up the podcast today, your challenge, as a reminder, is to write your ad or write your scholarship or write your life and your journal page, your story. And my suggestion is anytime you get inspired by something like this, do it within the next 24 hours because life starts to get in the way. So I'm going to up the ante of this challenge and suggest that you do this writing in the next 24 hours while it's fresh. So in closing, if you're listening to this from my website, be sure to add your name to the notification list so we can let you know when the next podcast is ready for you. The next one might actually be from Kona before the race.
There's my little nudge. If you're listening to this from iTunes, go to my website at jillmsummers.com and click on the podcast page where you can easily add your name for continued notification. You don't want to miss the ongoing series. We will for sure be talking with Rudy again after the race. Mm-hmm. Might be, you know, when she gets back, mm-hmm. back to the mainland. This is Jill with Jill M. Summers Performance Coaching. I'm so grateful for you listening today. We will see you on the next podcast. Aloha.
Aloha.
Mahalo.
Thanks for being with us today. We invite you to join us on our mission to move people forward and upward. Go to jillmsommers.com. That's jillmsommers.com for more information and to listen to other inspiring podcasts. And remember to do one thing today that moves your life forward, which impacts others around you to do the same.